was a goalie coach for many years with the Phoenix Coyotes. Won the Vezina, won the Williams-Jennings Trophy. Grant Fuhr joins us. Fuhrzy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Excellent. Now, how many rounds of golf are you playing a year right now, do you think?
Let's see. Body willing, I might get in 160 or 170 this year.
Oh, and what are you shooting right now? Like, what's your handicap?
Playing to scratch.
Oof, nice.
That's okay.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
What is your favorite course that you've played recently?
Recently?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What's recently? Played a place out in Biloxi, Mississippi. That was a good golf course. A place called Fallen Oak.
Okay.
Oh. That's a pretty golf course.
Oh, and what's your favorite one you've played all time?
Either Muirfield Village or Carnoustie.
Ooh, nice. What'd you shoot at those courses, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't even remember, actually. It's been a while since I've been over. Okay. Muirfield Village, I think I was right around 80.
Oh, jeez. That's not bad. Like, those courses, when you play them live, like, TV really doesn't do it justice how difficult the course is.
Oh, no, they're hard golf courses, and they're big golf courses.
Grant, I want to. You tweeted out some thoughts yesterday. It really intrigued me as a guy because, I don't think there's been a bigger change in hockey than the goalie position. Like, you looked how you used to play the game, and now, like, everybody's a butterfly goalie. First of all, is it better, do you think, as a guy who played that way and then coached the butterfly goal, then, like, is it a better way to play the way they play now?
No, I think the best way to play is if you can combine both. I mean, in an ideal world, you'd have somebody that could stand up and somebody who could butterfly, because then you've got the best of all elements.
Do you think that will ever happen?
Well, I think at some point it will happen, just by the way they're changing the game. I think as the game gets more offensive and more free-flowing, then you can't butterfly all the time. You've got to be able to move, and the best way to move is to be on your feet. So I think at some point you're going to find a hybrid goalie that can do both.
Now, the size of the goaltenders, like, it's ridiculous. Now, if you're not 6'2", it's tough to be a starting goaltender, and that's obviously because the butterfly, they go down and they take more of the net. You played in an era where the pads weighed probably twice as much as they weigh right now, and what are your thoughts on the goaltender equipment? Is it as bad as some people think? Does there need to be a shrinking?
Well, I think it could probably shrink a little bit, but I think on a whole, goalies are bigger. I think that's the biggest thing, is guys are 6'4", 6'5". And with the equipment being so light, they're obviously going to wear it bigger. I mean, pads weighed 25, 28 pounds when we played, so you wore them smaller. You had to. That's the only way you could lug them around. So I think as long as they keep them as light as they are, they're going to keep growing.
Grant Fuhr joins us. Now, we had Kevin Woodley on yesterday talking about Gustafson, and you know, he's played in Detroit where they had a very aggressive, they wanted their goalies to be aggressive, and in Edmonton, you know, there's systematically their players, younger guys, they haven't played as good defensively as other teams. And you mentioned good goalies should be able to play any system, but you've coached guys. Is it fair to, like, are some goalies just better suited for certain systems in front of them?
There are goalies for systems, but you can also take a passive guy and put him into a system that's fairly aggressive, or you can take an aggressive guy and put him into a passive system. You just have to convince them that it's the best way of playing, and you can work a bit of both.
So how, when you coach goalies, and Grant, because the style was so different when you were coaching with Phoenix compared to how you played, you know, how challenging was that? Because you were coaching a style that, you know, I know later in your career, obviously, you kind of had to start to morph into it. But for the, you know, the majority of your career, you played totally different. Was that the biggest challenge of being a goalie coach in the new era?
It's not really a challenge. It's part of being a fan of the game and still studying the game. You see different things that work better that obviously you wish you knew when you played, or at least you wish you were a lot bigger. But at the same time, there's a lot of the bigger goalies that like to stay on their goal line, where if you can get them out to the top of the crease, everybody thinks all of a sudden they're aggressive because they look twice the size, when in fact they're not that far away from the net. It's just getting them comfortable with that feeling.
How much of that, and you know, your teammates always talked about Grant's biggest strength was, he could just, if he let in a bad goal, it was gone. He didn't think about it. you know, the mental part of the goaltending position as much as the physical and playing angles, how much do you think plays into it? And can you tell right away if a goalie's lacking confidence when you're watching?
The mental side of the game is probably about 70%. I mean, if you start to doubt yourself, you're in trouble right out of the gate. And you know from watching warm-up, from watching usually the way a goalie handles the first four or five shots, whether he's on top of it or whether he's going to fight it a little bit. So you can tell by guys' mannerisms. You can tell how the teams react around them by their mannerisms, how they react with their teammates, just by watching what they're doing after they give up a goal, whether it be a good goal, bad goal, just how they react. You can tell pretty much whether you like having that guy around or not.
Hall of Famer Grant Fuhr with us right now. Now, with that mental side of the game, did you find you were able to coach that mental side, or is it one of those things where they either have it or they don't?
No, you can coach that. I mean, you have to learn the personality of your goalies. I think that's the hardest part, is you have to figure out what makes them feel good about themselves. You want them to feel like they're carrying the team, whether they are or not. And that's the hardest part of it, is just figuring out how they work and what their mental setup is.
How much better our goal, and you talked about it, if there was things you learned when you play, because you didn't have really any coaching, you know, early in your career. I remember you and Annie Moak kind of joking about it. Like, you would talk to the other goalies, but, you know, you were lucky, I guess, because, you know, Ron Lowe was around for a bit in Edmonton. At least he had played the position. But a lot of teams you'd go to, there was nobody there that really understood the position of goaltending.
No, we were kind of our own coaches. You learned as you went. You learned by the seat of your pants. I mean, fortunately, I had Ronnie and Andy around where you could see things and feel things, but if you didn't know if they were right or not, at least you could bounce it off of them and get some feedback for it.
What?
But I mean, now everything, they video everything now. You get to see everything on film. You study. So it's a lot easier in that sense.
So did you ever watch video of yourself? Like, when did it change? When did you start to get to see video of yourself as a player?
I never really watched a whole lot of video of what I did. I watched a little bit of video towards the end of my career of what the other teams were doing.
Okay.
And you try and see what their tendencies are. I mean, certain players have tendencies. Goal scorers have tendencies. And you try and feed off their tendencies. You take the top four or five players off a team, and you have an idea what they're going to do in a split second. But that's as much of a head start as you get.
Hall of Famer Grant Fuhr joins us. Now, Grant, as a student of the game, watching the game, are there certain goalies that you just like to watch currently more than others?
No, I like watching all the goalies. I mean, I like seeing some of the veteran guys and some of the young guys and seeing the differences. You can tell the difference after a bad goal. The veterans kind of blow it off. The next save for a younger guy, they usually end up fighting the puck a little bit. So you like seeing how guys deal with that, and I enjoy watching the younger guys now because they're more athletic and they're also bigger.
Yeah, well, they're definitely bigger. And so that's where you mentioned more athletic. So when I look at the bigger goalies, if they played that hybrid stand-up style, like, would that be something that, you know, you would need a goalie coach to kind of teach them? Because a lot of these goalies now from a young age, all they're doing is playing butterfly.
Well, that's part of the problem with why it's all gone butterflies. They're taught as kids that way. I mean, when I was coaching kids, I tried to get them to stand up. If you can stand up and make saves, you can always go down to make a save. That's the easy part of the game. But it's hard to have the patience to stand up. And I think you see a lot of guys in shootouts, the more patient goalies have more success.
Never thought of that. That's a really good point. Grant Fuhr joins us. Now, Grant, where did you get that ability to just shrug it off? Right, like, or was that something that, you know, even your teammates, they raved about it all the time. Was that something you had to learn at the NHL level, or did you have that even in Victorian juniors where it's just like, oh, okay, it's a goal, nothing I can do about it, I got to focus?
No, fortunately, I got that makeup from my parents. I mean, once a goal goes in, my dad used to say, what are you going to do about it afterwards? There's nothing you can do about it. You might as well let it go and move on to the next one. So there's some nights where you're having a really bad night, and it doesn't matter what you do. Puck looks like a pee, and there's other nights it looks like a beach ball. So the good nights, you just roll along. The bad nights, you try and forget when a goal goes in and just go back to fighting for it.
I've got a few obscure questions I want to ask you. What was your favorite mask that you had made when you played in the NHL?
Probably the first one I had from that everybody sees.
Oh,
I'm trying to think who made it. The guy, a gentleman out of Toronto made it.
Yeah, the orange
Harrison.
The orange and white one there from the Orders? Yeah, I think the one that Pro-Am Sports always tweets out, that one, I think?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one. Now, the rookie one was fun.
Yeah. What was it about? Is just like the color of it? And when did, like, how much did your mask change from you as a rookie as far as comfort and safety until the end of your career?
Well, I like the form-fitting mask. I mean, I don't know why. It was comfortable to wear. It was easy to see out of. The cage, the combination of the cage was a lot safer, obviously, and a lot more comfortable. But I like the one where you could actually paint it a little bit and have some color, and it looked good with the uniforms.
What is your take now? And we've seen just a few more injuries and a little bit of debates on the cat eye masks. What are your thoughts as far as balancing safety with the masks and the ability to see for the goaltenders?
I think some of the cat eye masks probably got a little bit bigger. You're worried more about sticks than you are pucks. I mean, the old mask, everything hurt. The only thing it was there for was to prevent you from being cut. So from a safety standpoint, they probably weren't great, but it was a step up from not wearing a mask at all. Whereas now you go to the cat eye, it's a step up from wearing the old mask, where now they've changed the cage again, and it's kind of a step up in safety from the cat eye mask. So everything's a progression.
Did you ever, and I can't recall this or not, Grant, but when you played, did you ever have where they came to you and said, okay, we're changing your equipment and you had to adapt to a different sizing during your career?
No. Fortunately, at 5'9", 5'10", you don't really ever have that issue.
Okay. Because like right now, that's going to be one of the unique offseason storylines in the NHL, the new sizing chart for goalies, where they're really trying to shrink the pants, and the chest protectors. And for a lot of goalies, that becomes probably more of a mental game than anything else, where suddenly a puck goes in and the goalie's like, oh, if I had my old stuff, I'd save it, right? Like, is that going to be the biggest challenge for some goalies, is just to not let it psychologically impact your game because you're wearing a little bit more form-fitting equipment?
Yeah, I mean, I never wore a whole lot of padding. I mean, guys used to laugh at some of the arm pads and chest protectors I used to wear, and then in my pants, I only had thigh pads. I wanted to be able to move, and it made me look bigger if I could move around. So a little less padding, a little more movement, whereas now you can have a lot of movement with a lot of padding. And I think as they take some of that away, guys are going to find pucks that'll squeeze through, and they'll look at the equipment first, of course, because that's just that's your natural thought process, but you just have to get by it.
Now, did Al MacInnis ever hit you in maybe the most non-protected part of your body? And or what was the shot that maybe stung the most, considering you didn't wear a lot of padding?
Oh, he hit me dead in the chest one night. I thought he killed me. But I mean, that was part of the price you paid for playing goal, is I knew if I didn't get it in the padding, it hurt. And that was the way I was brought up. And every time you made a mistake, you had a nice big bruise that reminded you of it.
So you're basically saying it was on you to be in the right position.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I learned to play goal, is if you were in the wrong position, you left yourself open, sometimes it'd take a little bite out of you.
Man, that's an old school attitude. I love it. It definitely doesn't seem to be the case nowadays for NHL goalies. Grant Fuhr joined us. Now, Fuhrzy, this was just perfect timing because we had an auction item planned today, and then you had tweeted out to me last night, and so we had you on. And we're auctioning off three guys or friends to teed up with you and Shannon Zabados on Wednesday, July 27th, out at the Quarry. You're a scratch golfer right now, so fair to say that not only is Hall of Famer some great stories, but also will likely be carrying the team a little bit. How do you like the scramble format, and what is your best part of your golf game right now?
Right now, most of my golf game's pretty good. I'm actually going to play in the Oil Country Classic, so we've been doing a lot of practicing the last little while.
Oh,
yeah. That's kind of my off day for practice, so I mean, we get a pro-am, I think, Monday, Tuesday, and then yeah. I'll play in Mark's on Wednesday. So it's going to be a fun day where I can hit a few different shots.
Oof, nice. So do you play in competitive tournaments often?
I might play three or four a year. I'm going to go up to Thunder Bay. Actually, I'm leaving tomorrow to go see my son play ball down in London, and then I'm going up to Thunder Bay to play in the Stahl Brothers tournament up there.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'll play two of the Canadian Tour events this month.
Okay. Awesome. Well, not only are they going to hear some great stories, they'll likely get some good golf tips on the course as well. Grant, we look forward to seeing you in 3 weeks. Appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to getting back home.